Good morning, James Chapman. Another beautiful day, buddy.
Glorious day.
An amazing day.
Great day. Yeah.
Beautiful.
All those things. But you know, it doesn't really matter if it's a good day or a great day or a beautiful day outside. It's going to be a scorcher, but it doesn't matter. It's another day to get after
it. It's another day to get after it, my man. And that's something, you know, to kind of go into, isn't it?
I don't know. You tell me.
I believe it is. It's always that's at the end of the day, you're given 24 hours, right? The first hour, first 10 minutes should be full of gratitude that you woke up. You know, there's a reason for it. The rest should be spent getting after it.
I can always do a better job of the gratitude piece. When I wake up, I usually cuss a little bit. They're like, oh, shit. Especially when it's an early morning, like this morning at 4:30. You know, I get on my chat. But I walk, get the blood flowing, get moving, and, like, start getting excited or happy or whatever it may be. Like, I don't live in that morning. I wake up, dude. I don't wake up. Oh, it's... sweet baby Jesus, another morning. Thank God. I don't do that. I go, because I know what I'm about to do. I know what I'm about to, I know the punishment I'm bringing to myself. I don't look at it like, but I mean, I'm going to put myself through it, you know, especially right now.
So, yeah, I think I've gotten into the point of pretty much training my brain. The moment that I wake up and I turn off my alarm, the moment I turn off my alarm and I go to walk downstairs, the first thought that's in my head is like, thank you, which is weird because I've never done that in the past. But it's very, very consistent for the past couple months. I mean, it's been like that. The moment I get up and I can kind of run through it, the moment like my eyes open, the alarm's going off, I get out of bed, grab my phone, turn the alarm off, and on my way down the stairs, like it's every single morning, the thought at least runs through my head of like, thank you, which is different.
Yeah. It's
different because that I've always talked about it, like trying to get my head in that space, but recently over the past couple of months, it's been pretty solid. And then,
that's good, man. I mean, hey, look, I think if that's, you know, what works for you, I think we could do more of that. You know, there was a study out. I need to go pull it up. Never looked to validate it, but they were saying where they basically took like two jars and put oats in it, I think, with like water in each jar. And then one of the jars, they would speak nice things to it. And the other jar, they would say like really negative things to it. And the jar they spoke negatively to would actually like rot and get nasty way sooner than the other jar. I could be wrong about the oats, but they were like putting something in it that was like, you know, something that would rot.
Yeah.
That's wild, right?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. If that's a real thing, that's pretty crazy.
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to make a note. I'm going to look it up, and I'll have the answer on that next podcast.
Beautiful. Let's do that. Because that's interesting in itself, isn't it?
But it makes you go to think, like, what's the shit you're saying to yourself?
Well, again.
Really think on, like, if I'm talking with somebody and we're pointing at something, they're like, oh, my God, I'm so stupid. I don't like that. I don't like my kids saying that.
Yeah,
Yeah. You made a mistake, but you're not stupid. You just messed up. Like, don't call yourself stupid. Don't call yourself ugly. Don't do any of that. I can't stand that shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about it. I mean, the visualization piece of life, I guess. I mean, being able to actually be in that that mindset. I think it genuinely changes the outcomes of things. Because being in the mindset of being able to genuinely think about what your future holds, right? Being able to mold your future, because that's where the ideas are created for the current, right? If I sit here and I think about, becoming the number one broker in Georgia, and I sit here and I think about it and I start molding what that looks like and visualizing that completely. Like, what does that entail? What do I have to be emotionally, physically, financially, and what knowledge do I have to bring to the table for that to happen? Those thoughts start forming the ideas currently, right? Which then mold the actions that I would have to take to get to that moment, right? But that doesn't come from not having that mental space of, or that freed mental space of being able to actually visualize or just genuinely think about what that future piece molding looks like, right? I don't think it.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just don't, I mean, like, that's like the 30,000 foot flyover, right? So there's a lot more intricacies to that. Right, like I think you need to dream. You need to have a big dream. You need to look at it. You need to see it. You need to feel it, right? You need a North Star. You need those kind of things, right? I had a sales manager one time was really good when I was starting my company. I mean, he spent a lot of time with me, helping me kind of think through things and figure things out. And one of the things he was big on was I would come to him with a goal. And I'd have a plan, right? There's a goal and everything's listed out. And he's like, all right, what's the tactical plan though? Like what's the tactics you're gonna use to actually get there? So he's like, I don't want you to write a goal, and I want you to have a tactical plan that supports that goal. So yeah, keep focusing on the big thing out there, but I don't even know what the next step's gonna be, right? You better walk 100 miles, but what's the next 100 yards like? No, and that was really good for me. And I think a lot of all those small things go together. So you want a six pack, you want to be ripped, okay. Well, let's just talk about the next spoonful that's going in your mouth. If you're saying that and your next thought's eating a fucking cookie, well, maybe that shouldn't be what it is, right? So you sit there and write your new plan out for what you're gonna do with your business or something personally or an achievement, like, and then you It's like me every year. I sit down and write down my financial goals. I track everything. I plug it all in, see what I did, what my next year plan is going to be. Well, if I turn around and said, okay, my goal's net worth, that's my goal when I look financially. And I sit there and do that plan and what I'm going to do the next year and then turn around and go buy something really fucking stupid that hurts my net worth, that goes, is completely counterintuitive to my whole plan, then that's really dumb. I'm not on it, right? So, what's the big goal? Daydream and get even bigger thoughts as you go along. Dream even bigger, and then back into that plan. And then I think how you're supporting yourself along the way. Like, there's key things you can do. Like, everybody's gonna have, like, especially somebody who's big in fitness. Hey, they're gonna still eat shitty meals every once in a while. The thing is, it's not the norm, right? Or it's an exception here and there, right? So have something, because they just hold themselves to that standard, right? Like, okay, well, a couple things I'm gonna hold myself to the standard. I'm not walking around calling myself stupid. I'm not walking around calling myself an idiot. I'm gonna screw up. I'm gonna do some dumb things, but I'm not a dummy, I'm not stupid. I got a lot to learn. I could be cognizant of that and stay curious in that. But I'm not an idiot. And I'm not gonna walk around and let somebody else call me an idiot. I'm not gonna call myself an idiot. I'm gonna call myself stupid. I'm just not gonna do those things. Are the people a lot prettier than me? Absolutely. But even if I am, I may be, I don't know. But I damn sure ain't gonna walk around just calling myself ugly. You know what I mean? Like you're just killing everything that pushes and helps all that grow and just move you forward. It makes no sense.
Well, there's I mean, that's a big piece in how you those discussions that you have with yourself and how you talk to yourself, like it's such a genuinely, I do think that it falls into a deeper level, right? It if you plant those seeds are going to be the ones that form, right? And it may be over time that they become, shitty crops, but it definitely has the potential of doing so, right? And it's, even the most positive people, I mean, yeah, they have like they have just, positive and negative. They have negative thoughts, right? But the idea behind it is not to allow the negative thoughts to, they don't put weight in those, right? The idea is putting more weight behind the positive thoughts and being able to go through that and one, talk to yourself as if you are what you are. And it may not be the easiest thing to do for some folks. I don't know. But it's the idea behind it is plant the seeds that you want to grow, not the ones that you don't, right? Pluck the weeds from the garden.
There's nothing wrong with having doubts. Everyone has doubts. It's what you do with that, right? Is that one doubt that just came out of nowhere? Is that now where you're planting your flag? Even though you've had this determination on this one thing for the last 5 years, My grandfather always said, I've said it on the podcast before, you can't stop a bird from flying, but you can damn sure stop it from building a nest. That simple. You can't stop a thought that runs through your brain. But letting it just stay there and take up residence in there is very, very different. And that's all it is. So,
But going into that, like, one of the younger cats that I coach outside of, it's not real estate related or anything like that. It's just, kind of going through life and having more of like a having somebody to bounce things off of that is a little bit older than you, right? That type of thing. He isn't investing in real estate. Like this is what he does, as like a little side piece. And this deal that came across, he lives in Florida. Deal came across, right? Came on the market. It's a 15 unit apartment complex, right? And he's so used to being in this little field of just normal buys and sells, like he purchasing like a $300,000, $400,000 house, da 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 da, fixing it, doing that whole process. This 15 unit came on, and he was like, "Man, these numbers can work." Da 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 da. And we were having the conversation. I could hear like he wanted to make a move on it, but he was allowing himself to step in his own way, right? But what if I, what if the risk, the risk is really, really high? I was like, understand the fact of like, yes, risk is high, reward is high, right? You have a level of risk in everything that you do. Anytime you purchase, a $200,000 house, you are still risking 20% or, 20% of that, right? You're still risking the nut. At the end of the day, you just got to decide if you're willing to put up the balls and risk a larger nut at the end of the day for a larger profit, right? It all comes down to that. And we've talked about that in the past. And then after this conversation, he genuinely started coming to the realization. I was like, look, understand it's not about, are you going to do this? You haven't even decided you wanted to do it. You've got to start making the decisions to, make the offer on the property. You're talking yourself out of something you haven't even started. Make an offer on the property. They may say no. If they say no, at least in 10 years from now, when that property sells for $10 million instead of one, at least you know that you made a shot on it versus 10 years from now when it sells for $10 million, you're like, man, I remember when I was going to make an offer on that property. But I didn't because I talked myself out of it, right?
Yeah, you drop by a point about how you thought about it.
Right.
Nobody gives a shit about what you thought about. What you thought about doesn't do, has no effect. Doesn't help you. Doesn't help anybody else.
And so
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. So, kind of talking about just kind of the risk and the reward piece. Number one, it's rare I do something these days that makes me nervous. We've talked about that multiple times on this podcast. Embrace that. When I do get nervous or I know I'm doing a push on a bigger deal, honestly, all it does is make me sharpen my pencil. I go back and reevaluate the numbers. And then I get nervous again. I go back and reevaluate the numbers again. I reevaluate like fucking 10 times and go and pore over it and pore over it to make sure I'm sure. Honestly, some of the crappier deals I've done are the ones where it didn't have nearly as much risk for me as far as, well, what if it just blew up? That's the dumber deals I've done. And those are the ones who actually probably cost me a little bit because I didn't put near the thought and the energy into it. It was like, nah, it's pretty good. And I didn't spend a ton of time on it like I would if it would have been a deal, it was a $100,000 deal versus, $1 million deal. I'm not sweating over the numbers as much, but that's, so I guess my point to that is that the bigger deals have been better deals because I've reevaluated so many times to try to make sure I'm correct in my thinking. And I keep a lot closer eye on it.
But that also comes down to you've got to get in a realm of not being so small-minded, right? Because if you are in that realm of thinking like, oh, maybe this is just it's just so far out of where my league is at the moment that it may not like I don't have a shot. But the old saying, like you miss every shot you don't take, right? But it's a lot easier of a thought, right? Or a lot easier of a saying than to actually do the work on it. But it's like, for him, I was like, look, man, just make an offer on it. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Or if they give you a counter, now you can make a better decision. But at least you're playing in the game, right? And then when another one comes down the road, you're not going to be so nervous of, can I make an offer on the property? Like at the end of the day, you've got to start being able to get into that bigger ball game and actually start playing. Like you don't know if you can hit in the major leagues unless you give it a shot.
And look, man, I know we can all be guilty of that. I see that in my office a bit. So a lot of what we do is fix issues for customers, right? Customers are not usually calling us unless there's an issue or, something new's happening. We're solving something basically for everybody, right? But sometimes stuff will come back from a carrier that we got to make a client aware of. It's going to cause an it's not going to be good news for the customer. It's not the customer's fault. It's not our fault. Carriers just looked at some and evaluated and doesn't like it and needs to move on from it, whatever. Well, I'll have people in here that will literally come to me with a problem that doesn't exist yet. Like they'll say, okay, well, this is going to happen to the client. We're going to look over, we're going to go from carrier A to carrier B, and we think we have a decent solution. And maybe they're talking about something like, well, what if the client says this? Well, what did the client say? Why well, I haven't talked to them yet. But why are we trying to figure out a problem that literally, truly does not exist? Thank God they got you. That's what you need to be looking at. Thank God they got an opportunity to work with you. Because not only did something happen that's going to catch them off guard, you've already figured an initial solution and you've done it quick and you're about to get on the phone and communicate with them clearly and be able to drop that forward. That's what most people want. Like, what's the action item? What needs to happen, right? Why are you creating something and making it bigger and then creating reluctancy and reaching out because you've thought about all these other things that can happen when they haven't happened yet? Don't waste your time on it, right? So it's back to that. Make the offer. If you really want to make the offer and see what happens from there.
Well, but yeah, that's exactly right. But the piece that you just said there is creating problems or stressing about an issue that is not actually an issue yet. That is something that I have continuously been trying to mold my brain into thinking of like, I've got to stop building this bridge between what could happen and what may happen, right? And what is actually happening. I'm not going to sit here and worry about a problem that is in the future, right? Because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it plays out. I don't know what's going to bring it. I don't know if making that new hire is actually going to be the best idea, right? I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. And if it fucks up, it fucks up. At the end of the day, like, the only way to find out is to actually try it, right? But I'm not going to sit here and try and ponder about all of the outcomes and things. I'm just not that person, right? I've never have been.
Yeah.
And there have been certain points in my life where, where I meet people or I have people in my life that are in that realm of like, well, I'm stressing about this. Okay, well, what are you stressing about? Well, what if I don't have this, this, this? What if this happens? Has that happened? No. Is it actually a problem right now? No. Well, then worry about what you got on your plate, right? That
Yeah.
should be enough to stress about.
Yeah.
There's no sense in forcing yourself to be in a stressful anxiety situation if you don't need to be.
Well, and the worst is when someone who cares about you is thinks they're looking out for you, they're so bad, not only do that to themselves, they do it to you on what you're striving for. Grant Cardone calls them the naysayers. They love you, they think they're doing right by you. Be careful, because they'll pollute it, they'll make you step back. And sometimes you need key people who will tell you if you're making a bad decision. You are not perfect, right? So, I have that with a few key people, and they can look at me and they're like, yeah, have you thought about this? Good point, I haven't, James, and they know you well enough to know, like, sometimes me, I get so focused on that item, and then I want it. And I'm making everything work to give me what the answers I want, right? I'm making the data give me what I need. I'm trying to just make it work, even though I shouldn't be looking at it from that through that lens. So you need a few key of those people. But be careful for people who ain't nothing, got nothing to pipe up on, except to tell you something's a bad idea when you think you got to go. You don't need that, and they're only doing it because they love you.
Well, and that's such a
I
crazy,
hope.
that's such a crazy, crazy thought process.
Yeah.
Such a crazy thought process.
We've all done it to somebody before, A family member, you're standing around Thanksgiving or something, they say something, you're like, oh, be careful about that because of blah, blah, blah. Man, you hadn't checked up on them since last Thanksgiving. Shut your fucking mouth. You don't know what's going on, how they're hustling, how they're getting out of stuff, getting after stuff. Now, they come lay out in front of you and say, hey, I'd love your opinion on this. That's different. But, we've all been guilty of it.
And that's another piece of communication that's difficult as well, right? How to know when to be able to give, like to be able to fix a problem, right? Someone says, well, I got this going on, da 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 da. As me as a person, dude, I'm here of like, okay, look, there's a few action items here we could put into play. Whereas sometimes you just don't need to be able to fix all the people's problems, right? I got agents that throw up a flag, and I'm like, all right, look, we can solve this like this, 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 this. Where I've noticed lately, I've been working on this a lot more, is unless you ask my opinion, I'm just gonna ask you questions, right? Other than my wife can ask me a question, and I'm like, I'm Mr. Fix It. For some damn reason, I can't figure out how to not fix the situations,
Yeah.
which, it's all progress, all
Yeah.
working. But at the end of the day, it's like know when to give your opinion and know when not to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also I saw a thing. It's like, are you in the problem solving phase or are you in the consulting phase? I need to know that because I'm going to try to solve the problem.
But as a business owner, like you see things and you like your job is to fix problems. As a business owner, as as a man in general, like that whole concept of I see something that is not working correctly, I gotta fix it. Right? Especially in my business, like everything that runs around here. I've got to have my fingers on the pulse, right? I'm not going to sit here and micromanage, but I've got to have my finger on the pulse when I know, like, hey, these things are happening pretty consistently. Why is that happening?
Yeah, I think that is a thing that is definitely male driven. You're immediately going to fix, like, you have this fire come up and you put out fire, you put out fire, you put out fire. I think females are better at going, what keeps causing the fire? You know, not just putting it out, okay, but what keeps causing that same fucking fire every time? They're a little better at that for sure.
There's a huge benefit in being able to look at it in a bigger picture, whereas you're just trying to find the bolt to put on the nut.
It's like when they talk about treating the symptoms versus the cause, right? You know, I mean that's right back to it. So I'm with you. I try to be more cognizant of the back to the like the consoling or the problem solving piece. Sometimes you do just need to listen to people, you know. I had a guy do that to me a while back. Call me and it was extremely frustrating all this. And I immediately went to say, okay, here's what we're trying to do to take the stress off and solve this for you. You know, he stopped me. He said, man, I'm not going to do any of the things I just said. He said, that's why I'm on the phone with you, because I'm extremely frustrated. He knew who he was. He had to get it out. He's like, I'm extremely frustrated. And me calling you and talking to you about it keeps me from acting on it. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, he wanted to make sure I understood how difficult the situation was he was in, that me as a company owner had put him in. You know, and that was it. He's just like, man, I need to make sure we're on the same page or hear me, you know? And I'm good. And we finished the call. It was great. He went right back at it, got right back in the middle of all that shit he was dealing with. He just had to let me know for a second. And I just had to hear him out. He wanted to be validated. Nothing wrong with that. You know, I don't want somebody that needs to be validated every day. But when it's bad enough and I don't ever hear from you, you call me and I'm, you know, he, I mean, he stopped me right in my tracks. It was excellent. It was a good learning piece for me.
That would have been interesting to hear.
Yeah, because it got intense for a second, man. Really intense. I was like, oh shit. I told you I would figure it out. We're gonna figure it out. So now it's like, oh shit. So like I'm trying to jump on it and handle it. And yeah. He just stopped me. He's like, I know. He's like, this is how I feel right now, and I'm telling you, so I don't. Fair enough.
Fair enough, pal. Fair
Yeah.
enough.
All
Look
right.
at us. Look at us growing. Look at us.
Yeah. That's right.
Cool, bro.
Hey man, you're never too old or you know, too long in the tooth to be able to continue to learn as things go on and get better and sharper at it, right?
Dude,
Almost everything we do is a skill set, you know. I mean, it's like the longer I go along, it's just a skill set and it's just something to constantly work on. If you put focus on it, you'll get better.
And the weird part is like you can get so caught up in fixing those things that are working on building up those skill sets that you get distracted on, like you're like, oh man, I just went into overload mode on trying to fix some problems or trying to, increase the skill level. And then you can go on the complete opposite side of that where you're just like, you're turned off. You're like, I just need a minute to work on this. And that's a crazy piece as well.
I agree.
I have that full on and off mode all the time.
And I will say, if you don't have something that you're not great at and you're working to build a skill set in, like, you know, we've talked about it on here. I mean, you've grown tremendously in jiu-jitsu. I've done it with woodworking. Now I'm doing it with a guitar. I'm trying to learn guitar, man. It's difficult. But like to that, it's like it conditions your mind to stay more open and more cognizant of things you've been doing every day for years. So there's me doing that stuff is helping me over here. Not probably not the best comparison, but like one of the things you know, turning my shower ice cold at the end and standing there freezing my balls off. Well, they say that helps with stress, right? You've heard that? Why does it help with stress?
Because you're putting your body underneath stress and forcing it to be there.
Right. So a cold shower is stressing my body and then it helps me deal with regular stress wherever else, right? So there's no difference in that versus, okay, you're learning some new hobby and you got to stay really open-minded and you're just soaking all this stuff up like a sponge and you're trying to learn and you're seeing your techniques get better because you got all this tension on it. Well, can you do that with your day-to-day your money machine, right? The thing that's printing money for you, what are you doing over there? And staying in that mindset so you can continue to grow. So maybe if you do it in one area, it'll help you in the other area.
Yep.
Just a thought.
Main of main.
Yep.
Well, cool, James. I appreciate you, man. Guys, on this podcast, we have a sponsorship. Sponsorship is Jocko Fuel and Origin USA, and you guys have been crushing that code, and we appreciate it. I know Jocko and his team over there appreciate it as well. Hopefully, we're definitely working on building up some repertoire. That wasn't it.
No one yet.
No.
Yeah.
That was
I
not it.
want to stay with it. I want to all stay here so you get it. Because I don't know what word you're trying to use.
Working on building up our reputation
There we go. I'll take that. Yeah.
with Jocko and his team. And ideally, what the goal is there is to be so amazing in their eyes that Jocko blesses us with his presence on this podcast. And so I'm going to keep doing that behind the scenes, and I'm going to keep swinging at JP Donnell to give us a damn interview with Jocko just to say, hey, look, man, these guys are killing me. I need you to get on this damn podcast.
You just talked into fruition right now. Right? Nah. Yeah.
Remember what
What's
we
that
talked about
gonna be like?
earlier?
It's gonna be at 4:34 a.m. in the morning. It's gonna be Addison. This Jocko gets on.
Yep. Hey, amen to that, dude. I will put that as my damn ring.
Yeah.
I will put
Addison's gonna
that.
wake up and think it's like the Tooth Fairy talking to him.
That's
It's
it,
not
baby.
gonna be real.
It's not going to be real. But yeah, guys, again, with all of that support, we have big plans with that. And so with that being said, when you go to originusa.com or jockofuel.com and you get to the checkout, put in the code GRIND10, GRIND10, and get yourself 10% off. It's an absolutely amazing product, and they've got a lot of good stuff over
Yep.
there. With that being said, James,
Grind.